Good works will not add to anything. Bad works will not take away anything. Think about that. It's grace upon grace upon grace. And every time people tell me that's not fair, I say, thank you, God, it's not, or I couldn't do it. We wouldn't be there.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. We are looking at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ as our study begins in John chapter 19. Here's Pastor Bob.
Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him, had him beaten, 40 lashes. They usually get 38 in case somebody miscounted, because sometimes with 40 lashes, the person didn't live. But some died from the beating alone before they could crucify him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns. They were making fun of him because they said he's a king. And so they put a crown on his head and they put it on a purple robe across his back. Remember how they put those things are 6 to 8 to 9 inches, and they put it on your head and they hit it with the like baseball bats, pounding it into your skull. So now he's got a crown because he said he was a king. So they're mocking him the whole way. They put him on a purple robe so he looks like king. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. They started punching him in the face and punch him in all around. Pilate had offered to set one prisoner free. He wanted to get Jesus free. And so he says, but on this special occasion, Passover for the Jews, he said, "I'll let one of the prisoners go free." He was hoping, since there was no charges, he wanted to set Jesus free. Pilate wanted nothing to do with this man, Jesus. It bothered him, and he didn't want to do it, but it was his job, and he got stuck. So he decided, hey, he wanted to get Jesus free. So he gave them the choice of a known murderer called Barabbas. He was an insurrectionist and a murderer. He deserved to die. He was supposed to die. "I'll give you Barabbas or Jesus. Who do you want to let turn free?" And the crowd, listening to the high priest, chose Barabbas. Pilate was shocked because that wasn't his plan. He's trying to get Jesus off his hands, and he can't seem to do it. He wants Jesus to go free. He knows they're doing this. He doesn't understand why, but he doesn't want to play the game, but he is kind of stuck. Pilate was shocked, and he came up with another idea. So he had Jesus beaten. That's where we read there. He was scourged. That should help everybody. The scourge was a leather whip knotted with weighted pieces of metal and bones, iron and, all kinds of things. And many prisoners didn't survive the 40 lashes, but Jesus did. But his black back was ripped to shreds. He's flowing with blood, the blood of God. Even though there were no charges brought against him, he did it willingly for who? Me. Now you stick in you. He took that because that's what I deserve right now. He did that for you. And he didn't have to. Out of love and grace and mercy, we put him on the cross. The Jews didn't do it. My sin did it. Don't look at somebody else. It's my sin. Now you, come along. It's my sin that he paid for. It's every one of us. He did it willingly for me. You have to be able to say in your own heart, he did that for me. He did it willingly for all of us. Verse 4 says what? Pilate, therefore, went forth again and said to them, behold, after now he's all bloodied and he's standing in front of everybody. He brought Jesus out, verse 4, and I bring him forth to you that you may know that I have found no fault. There's no crime. That's the second time that he said that out loud. There is no crime. Well, then why did you beat him with 40 lashes? Because I thought it might help get him loose. Didn't work, did it? Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, behold the man. You know what he thought they would do? Be so sick of the blood and all the gross that's happening, they would just say, he's had enough, let him go. He's almost dead anyway. But it didn't happen that way. When the chief priests, therefore, verse 6, and the officers saw him, they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. They started the crowd yelling. And Pilate said to him, you take him off my hands and crucify him. I have found no fault in him. And the Jews answered, we have a law. And by our law, he must die because he made himself the Son of God. That's the chief priests. They got the whole people of Israel yelling those things. Pilate brings Jesus back out before the crowd and simply says, look at the guy. Behold the man. Once you see him, you're going to see he's innocent and that's enough punishment. Pilate couldn't get Jesus off his hands. And he sure wanted to. He's saying, look at the condition this guy is in. Isn't that enough for everybody? Obviously, no. He's hoping that the sight of Jesus Christ would make the people sick and maybe feel pity for him. Nobody did. If they did, they didn't. They had to hide it from the chief priests and the doctors of the law. The crowd still cries out, crucify him. Why? Because the leaders start it, and everybody else, you know, you've been to those kind of things. Everybody's yelling the dumbest things, and they don't know why. Why? Because somebody started it, and it sounded cool. Look at verse 8. When Pilate, therefore, heard that saying, when they said, he says he's the Son of God. When Pilate heard that, okay, he was more afraid than ever. And he went again into the judgment hall, verse 9, and said to Jesus, where do you come from? Whence art thou? Where did you come from? Jesus didn't answer a thing. And Pilate said to him, you need to speak to me. You got to tell me something. Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you and I have the power to let you go free? And Jesus said what, Christian? Verse 11, you could have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. My Father is letting this happen to me. You have no power at all against me, except it were given you from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto you has the greater sin. Who did that? Who delivered him over? One of his disciples, Judas. And from that point, everybody, notice, Pilate decided, I got to release this guy. I got to get him off my hands. But the Jews cried out saying, if you let this man go, you are not a friend of Caesar. Remember, Caesar can take Pilate's job away and cut his own head off, right? And he doesn't want that. So they just threaten him. If you let this man go, you are not a friend of Caesar. We're going to talk to Caesar about that. Whosoever makes him a king, himself a king, speaks against Caesar. You're going against Caesar. When Pilate heard that, he brought Jesus forth and he sat down in this judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, known in the Hebrew as Gabbatha, and it was preparation for the Passover. And about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, Behold your king. Look at him. He's bleeding to death. He is broken. He's crushed. But they cried out, away with him. Kill him. We want him. Away from him. Crucify him. Put him to death. Pilate said to them, should I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Did you hear that, everybody? The leadership, the holy leadership of Israel saying, we love Caesar. We'd rather take him than Jesus Christ. Then they delivered him, therefore, into them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Put it all together. Pilate brings Jesus back out, trying to get sympathy to stop this whole charade. He's one of those leaders that they want to keep their job and they want to get more money, and so they'll do whatever it takes. So that's not fair and that's not honest. So Jesus was cheated. And he could have stopped and thrown it down, said, all right, that's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. Die, everybody. And it would have been done. Why didn't he do that? Because he was thinking about me. And I'm a sinner. And he paid the price for me. Now, where do you put you? And Pilate says, isn't that enough for you guys? Pilate is hoping that they will just let him go. They wouldn't do it. Pilate heard that Jesus claimed to be God. That scared him. So he talked to him again. Don't you know I have the power to crucify you? Jesus says, it's true that you do, because my Father has given you that authority, or I wouldn't be standing here right now. So Christian, I don't know what kind of condition you're in, and I don't know what situation you're in, but your Father knows that you're in it. So don't huff and puff and keep whining. Know that God's got you going through some stuff, because there's something in you through him that he's going to be glorified. Jesus will die, and it will glorify God Almighty in heaven. Jesus willingly took that on. Why? Because I couldn't do it myself, and you couldn't, and neither can anybody out there. And everybody is a sinner, even you. And you know what Jesus is? Perfect. He never sinned in thought, word, or deed. Have you? Every true follower of Jesus Christ needs to hear these words. Hear it, Christian. He says, don't you know I could save your life? Don't you know I'm in charge here? You could have no power at all against me, except it was given you from above. Anything that happens to me, God is the one that allowed it. Anything that happens to you. And then you stop and say, wait a minute, my Father has plans, and I need to surrender to his plans. It will glorify him, and it will strengthen me. And that's what Jesus showed us. You could have no power at all against me, except it was given thee from above. Pilate, you're nobody to me. I love you, bro, but you're not. My Father is wanting this. That's why I'm staying here. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Lessons we need to take heart. One, my Father in heaven is in charge, period. You mark it down, lock it in your head, remember it, do not let it go from this moment on. Number one, lesson number one, Jesus taught this to be in you right here. My Father in heaven is in charge. That's why I'm in Idaho. That's the only reason I can explain to you that I'm in Idaho. What about you? You're going through something. Everybody's going through something. Nobody talks about it. Everybody's going through something. And there's something you think, I'd rather not do that, and I'd really rather not do that. But my Father in heaven is in charge. Number two, you're in the position you're in because my Heavenly Father has allowed you to be there. And number three, there are degrees of sins and judgment, just as there are degrees of rewards. Keep in mind, we learn that from Jesus Christ. There are degrees of sin and judgment. And we've already learned that, just as there are degrees of rewards. So Pilate tried again to release Jesus. He said he had the authority, but he was a coward. He was afraid to do what he knew was the right thing to do. And he, bearing his cross, remember they said, go ahead and crucify him. So he, bearing his cross, he had to carry that top piece, that cross piece, and he went forth into a place called the skull, which in the Hebrew is Golgotha. You know what it is in Greek? Calvary. It sounds prettier when you call it Calvary. Where did they do? They crucified him between two other people. He was in the middle, one guy on one side and one guy on the other, Jesus right in the middle. And Pilate wrote a title to put up over the cross so that they show you the crime. Pilate wrote, verse 19, put it on the cross, a title, and it says, Jesus of Nazareth, he's the King of the Jews. This title, then many people read, the Jews read it, verse 20, and they didn't like it. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then the chief priests said to Pilate, don't write the King of Jews. Say, he said, I'm King of the Jews. Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. Look, I've been playing with you guys all day. I'm not changing it. This is Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. Pilate somehow knew that. He's got the game figured out. Jesus carried that cross, led him to Calvary, Golgotha, place of the skull. Notice John does not give us the gory details like some of the other gospels do. He just says they crucified him between two brutal criminals who really deserved to die. And Jesus was right in the middle. Isaiah 53:12, therefore, when I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. This is Isaiah 53:12. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's Bob. And you want to go ahead and say your name out loud. Go for it. He died for me. He died for you. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Written in three languages. Three, so everybody could read it. The Aramaic, the Hebrew, that's the lingua of the Jews. The Greeks, the common language in the Roman Empire, is Greek. And then the law was Latin. All the law was in Latin. So anybody walking by, anybody, no matter where they're coming from, as they're coming to the Passover, they all, in their language, understand Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That's what they see. Big, huge letters. As he's there on the cross dying. The chief priest complained, don't write that. Write that he said he was. And Pilate said, I'm done with you guys. Love you, mean it, but I'm done with you guys. What I've written, I'm not going to change it. That bothered them a lot. Still does today. Look at verse 23 and 24. The soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, they took his clothes, and they made four parts to every soldier, but then he had an outer garment, and it was seamless, so it was woven from top to bottom. They said, therefore, among themselves, let's not tear that. You could take this pile of clothes and this pile and this pile and this pile, we'll all share it, but they're going to play dice, you know, they're going to throw to see who gets the, let us not tear that, let's cast lots, like throwing dice, who shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled. It says, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. So that's what, 700 years, almost 800 years before Jesus was born, he prophesied what they would do with his clothes at the cross. But the outer garment, we don't want to tear that, so we'll throw some dice. You know what they're doing? They're doing the same thing I think a lot of us, if we're not careful, and a lot of people out there who don't care at all. They're playing games at the foot of the cross. Let it be said that not one of us should be playing games at the foot of Jesus Christ's suffering. It's not a joke. They part my garments, Psalm 22:18, among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. This is not a game, Christian, that we're playing. This is real. This is eternal life or eternal death. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. That's Mary. There's another Mary, his mother's sister, whose name is Mary, the wife of Cleophas. And there's Mary Magdalene. You got three Marys in a row. When Jesus saw his mother, Mary, and the disciple standing by, that's John, the only brave one who actually stood at the cross and watched his master die. The other guys were hiding for their lives because they knew they're going to come for them next. They were all hiding. But John, you got to give him, that's a pretty brave man to be right there at the foot of the cross. And when Jesus saw his mother there, and he saw the disciple whom he loved, that's John, he said to his mother, woman, that's an enduring term in those days. It's the same for you and me to say right now to a lady, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, ma'am. That's what it means. He'd say, woman, ma'am, behold your son. Notice that Jesus is going to heaven. He's going to be here a little while, and he's going to heaven. He's not going to leave his mother without someone to take care of her. So he says, John, buddy, there's your mother. And he took her. And from that, verse 27, and from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. She was his mother now. Why? Because Jesus wants to take care of his mom. And look at verses 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, verse 28, the scripture might be fulfilled, he said this, I thirst. Why? Because scripture said he's going to say that. And so Jesus said, hey, I thirst. And now they set a vessel of vinegar close to him, and they filled a sponge of vinegar, and it would be terrible tasting. It's not water, and that's more of the punishment. So they just shoved that in his mouth and put on hyssop, and it put it to his lips. When Jesus, therefore, received the vinegar, he said, and he yelled it out loud, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and everybody, he didn't just die. He chose the minute to die. He died. That's what I love about God. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. All the other guys have to die on their own. Jesus died when he was done on his own power. He gives up his life for me on purpose. For you, for everybody out there. And if you've never received Jesus, ask him into your heart tonight, and you are saved by grace. He was physically suffering and willingly suffering for us. And Jesus' final words on the cross are recorded. I thirst, and it is finished. Jesus paid my way. Paid in full. Jesus Christ our Lord paid the price for all sin for all time. Tetelestai. It's completely paid in full. He died on the cross to pay the price for my sin, your sin, all those people that you would never even talk to. I don't like those kind of people. He loves them and he paid for them too. And all you have to do to have it is to surrender your heart and say, save me.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is a radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.